Hello, patrons. Hey, Allison, do you remember what you're doing here?
I am the opposite of Tom. I have no memory of anything.
Why am I here? How did I get here?
People say things like they remember which teacher taught them what in what class in second grade. And I'm like, I went to second grade.
I have very good memory for certain things. So I can do the magic trick of seeming like I have an amazing memory because I will remember really weird stuff like that. Like, oh yeah, Miss Hall was the one who conducted the mock election between Jerry Ford and Jimmy Carter. And Jeff Peterson and I would each make touchdown signals when our favorite candidate got a vote and we got in trouble and told to quiet down. Like, I totally remember that. But I'll forget other things if I don't write them down. All the time.
Okay.
Why do you think I have such an extensive rundown?
Because you would not remember.
I don't want to forget stuff.
But do you? Well, you do so much content. It certainly must happen to you. But I'll have people say something about last week's guest, and I'll on chit chat, and I'll go, who was on last week? I mean, my favorite is I go Googling for an answer to a question and the link is to something I wrote.
That's the best. I have had that happen before to me too, actually, back in the CNET days. All the time people are like, they'll say stuff. Usually it'll be like on Twitter or email. Someone will say, oh, here you go. And I'll be like, I have no idea what you're referring to because they just heard me say it, right? They've been listening to something.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, here's that thing. And I'm like, what thing?
You know, Roger Nash may be watching right now, but he wrote me a note today. He said, break a leg on the Parallels Toolbox trial. And what? And we went back and forth like 8 times before I realized there was a period between the two. Break a leg, because he had just heard you say I would be on DTNS.
Uh-huh.
And then he said, on the Parallels Toolbox trial, blah, blah, blah. It's like, why would it break a leg on a trial for some software? I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh. Okay. I'll. Thanks for the good wishes.
Now, I'm gonna do a thing for Don McAllister's Screencast Online, and I thought, okay, maybe he meant break a leg on that about Parallels Toolbox.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you seen Parallels Toolbox, by the way?
No, I read about it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh my God, it's amazing! I use it for everything.
Really?
Want to see my camera disappear? Oh, yeah. It's basically, think of all the little tiny menu bar apps you love, just all piled up into one. Like Switch,
okay.
It's got a Switch Res X equivalent. It's got a Caffeine equivalent. You can block your camera so no apps can talk to it. You can mute your microphone. You can eject drives. There's like, and they add things all the time. You can make them menu bar apps, or they can be their real apps too. You can assign them trigger. How about airplane mode on your computer?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't need that. I don't care about that.
Okay. Presentation mode gets everything off your desktop and gets rid of all notifications in one button. So you're going to do a talk? It's amazing.
So it's just okay. So it has nothing to do with virtualization.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It's just another thing.
That
they
was
do.
What I had not quite drilled down to.
Yeah. It is. It's got a. How long's the free trial? Let's see. Roger told me.
It's $10 a month.
No. It is $10 a year.
Oh, a year. Sorry. You're right.
Yeah. 83 cents a month.
Wait, what about just part? Buying things and having them instead of having to rent them?
Yeah. Yeah. There are 1, 2, 3. I can't even count. There's like 25 apps in this.
Yeah.
And they're all little bitty things. Oh, you can record your screen. You can make a video recording from your.
This is a convenience dashboard, is what it is, because you can do all this stuff already.
Yep,
it's just putting it all in one place.
Steve just gave me a hat to wear.
Solarfest.
It's not Hat Thursday, but.
Oh, he says it's not Hat Thursday. I'm not allowed. Oh. Wait.
No, you're allowed. You can wear a hat if you want. I'm just saying you don't have to wear one.
Oh. It's an optional hat.
In fact, if Steve had let me know that he was going to give you a hat, then I wouldn't have bothered brushing my hair and just put a hat on.
He said if he had known you were going to bring me a hat, he wouldn't have bothered brushing his hair. He would have worn a hat. Is that why you do it?
That's totally why I do it on Fridays. I'm just lazy. Whoa.
I can't pull off.
It takes the years off when you put it sideways.
Look, I'm 12.
See, I don't know if I want to pay $10 a year for this. Because I can do all these things already, and I'm that cheap.
Yes, you can. You can convert YouTube videos to, or download YouTube videos.
I can already download YouTube videos.
Yes, you can.
I get eject, it. I get it.
How do you how do you eject file? How do you do a presentation mode? How about that one?
I don't really use presentation mode very often. No, but ejecting, I always have to go into Finder and do it.
I hate that. And you can assign keystrokes to them too. Yeah. And they're all standalone apps, really.
How about one click turn a wave into an MP3? Can I do that?
There's download audio. I'm looking at them all. Oh, and they add stuff all the time. There's three in there that I haven't even tried yet that since I wrote my review showed up.
Lock screen. I think I'm going to do Handbrake for that, actually.
Handbrake.
I use Reggie Ashworth VidConvert. Reggie is one of my favorite developers. VidConvert does all
Because you can
of
send to... Can't you? Oh, open with. I think you can open with.
Handbrake.
Oh, I don't have Handbrake on this machine.
I thought there was a... If you had Parallels Toolbox...
Hey, DTNS patron!
Hey!
What? Oops.
We're not live yet.
It's live to some people.
It's recorded.
So you can do screen capture for video. Screen capture. Like you can already with QuickTime.
No, I get it. I totally get it. Like, it just makes all these things that you have to hunt around to get to immediately available, which is very cool.
What do you have that'll block your camera that isn't just one of these?
My hand.
What's my chat client called? Steve just told me I'm not in the chat room yet.
God,
I can't remember the name of anything after I've been gone.
It's not on your Parallels toolbar?
Shut up. We're going to have one of those days. I'm going to tell you how you're wrong about wearables. Shoot, I'm serious. I can't remember.
I do. I want you to tell me how I'm wrong about wearables.
Textual. There it is. Luckily it was.
Oh, look. SB Sheridan's in the chat room.
Oh, there's a new version of Textual. Okay. And which one is your chat room?
IRC.
Control when you get a chance. Realm.
Is it the same as CordKillers?
IRC.CordKillers.com works too. They all redirect to each other.
I've got them built. I just get confused whether you're Frog Pants or CordKillers today. I think I'm there.
Right.
Okay, they're good. Steve's there to watch me.
Presets. Stop.
Oh, did you see Steve's Eclipse stuff? Any of his stuff?
Oh, no, I haven't yet.
So he did a couple of videos of the Eclipse, and I did a blog post about how he did it without paying attention to the camera. Because he wanted to experience it and not spend his time photographing it, and he managed to get a great photo and great video.
He's not suing Amazon, is he?
No. He bought our glasses ahead of time and bought packs for other people that were good. Wave at Beatmaster. I typed wave at Beatmaster. I'll tell you guys about that at the end when I say, you say, what do you got going over there at Podfeet?
The Eclipse?
Yeah.
Sorry, I was looking at an email because someone was wrong on the internet and it was me. No, seriously, it was somebody responding to East Beats West. Roger is right. Tom is wrong.
Wait.
I just forwarded it to you. I just forwarded it to you, Roger. Don't worry.
Print out and frame it.
You get to frame that one. So you were saying about Stephen and the eclipse. Did you put a link somewhere, though, that I missed?
We're working on it right now.
Okay. Nice.
So there's two videos. Copy link. I'll put it in the chat room.
Cool.
There's one. And there's the second one. And so the main thing was that it was trying to figure out how to experience the solar eclipse without paying attention to the camera or not paying attention to the camera and yet get great video.
This is it. Total eclipse of the sun.
Don't look at the camera. I wonder if those are satellites
or not. See, phone is going off during this.
We'll strip out the audio and put it in like imposable music. Voting music.
Can the people in the chat room hear us? Some? All?
Something bright on the.
We're not streaming live yet.
Oh.
I got that's you. Good. That's really good. That I like awesome. The edit.
That was incredible.
That's actually taken with a 1080p video camera.
Yeah, nice.
Composited using Affinity Photo with cropped up close shots for a cool high res version.
Good stuff.
Yeah, he did.
Samsung just got approval from California to test self-driving cars.
Ooh.
Go, Samsung. Get your autonomy on. Autonomy on. Oh, fine. Oh, really, Engadget? Really? You're just going to publish that right now with 5 minutes to showtime. Internet IDC just put out new numbers on wearables.
Oh, that's awesome.
No, it is. It is. I wouldn't have mind having it like 30 minutes ago instead of 5 minutes before showtime, but it is good.
So what does it show?
I don't know yet. I haven't even had a chance to look at the link.
Hurry, read it.
I put it in the show notes, though.
Wait, Xiaomi becomes world's number one wearables vendor?
That was last quarter, yeah. So the new one that I just put in doesn't even have words. It's line 37.
Oh, okay.
Sales numbers show that wearables are up 10.3% year over year. That number includes a small but notable first-time drop in annual growth for basic wearables, which are like the wristband ones.
Yep, it thinks,
right? Smartwatch growth topped 60% this quarter compared to the same time last year.
Wait, 60% what? 60% growth?
And the next big wearables star could be clothing and earwear, which according to IDC showed triple-digit growth.
Yeah, but like, is that from starting from nothing?
Hang on. What? Smartwatches recorded double-digit year-over-year growth right after they said 60%. What is 60%? 60% growth?
Smartwatch growth topped 60% compared to the same time last year, whereas wearables are up 10.3%. Wearables include smartwatches, but are not only smartwatches.
Right, but so one line says smartwatch growth topped 60%. The very next line says smartwatches recorded double-digit year-over-year growth.
Yeah, 60 is two digits.
Yeah, but what a dumb statement right after saying 60.
Oh, I know. I mean, specific. You're picking. Okay, so now you're picking on poor Mallory Locklear.
No, I'm trying to understand Mallory, and she's being unclear.
She quoted IDC in that second paragraph. Okay. The line about smartwatch growth topping 60% is her line. Then she quotes the IDC statement.
Okay. So Apple was a big leader with nearly 50% year-over-year growth. While it was reported previously, Xiaomi still took the top spot in the wearables market. Yep. Okay. It's so weird with Xiaomi not letting us have anything, right?
We can get all their wearables. It's only the phones that we can't get. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we couldn't. Okay.
It's only the stuff with carrier support.
Carrier pigeon support.
Wait a minute. Fitbit, 40% decrease.
Mm-hmm.
Then how could they have a 10.3% increase if it's the wrist? So it's everybody's wrist things except Fitbit?
No, the 10.3% is for all wearables.
Right.
From all manufacturers.
Of all types.
Right. Oh, there it is. But notable first time drop in annual growth for basic wearables are the ones that went down. Gotcha.
Yep. All right.
Let's start
the video.
Should I wear my hat when you start?
Yeah, sure. Video.
Or should I wear it at the end when I talk? I'll put it.
Well, you're wearing it now. Oh, goodbye.
Oh, no.
Too late. Okay.
This makes no sense at all. I don't want to wear it the whole time, though.
Man, Jesus, you got 2 more minutes to just keep putting it back on and off until you figure out which one you like.
Oh, dear.
Okay. Yeah. So, wearables up 10.3% year over year. This is Q3. Oh, that's Q2. That's IDC's Q2. So that's actually not as. Because I already have Strategy Analytics Q2 numbers in there.
Okay. And the one we just got was
the IDC, one we just got was IDC. Yeah.
And it was Q2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this year's second quarter earnings sales numbers show that wearables are up. So looks like IDC actually backs up Strategy Analytics.
Okay.
As far as the numbers go. They break them out, and they break out smartwatch from basic wearables a little bit. Too, okay. Which is interesting. Okay.
A lot of data.
It is. So too much data. Hurt my head.
Can't read all this. Too much. Too much too fast.
You're cool with your headlines though, right? I should have asked earlier.
I am cool with them. I changed it to Podfeet Podcast at the top so you don't have to remember how to say NoSilicast. That's my new branding.
But you know I just learned how to say NoSilicast like a year ago.
And you can
I'm
call
still other, proud
find
to know
Podfeet
finally
podcast,
how to properly say it.
Podfeet Pod. Find right. Podfeet Podcast like the NoSilicast.
Excellent.
You can say it all.
All right, here we go. 3, 2. That's cool. I like that.
To find out more,
yeah. Maybe I'll just reboot that.
What was that?
That was a little phasing of Boss Jock. On an MP3, mind you, which I thought the problem was with Aphes and Waves, but apparently not.
It's all a phasing right. Jock.
It is a phasing jock. All right, here we go. 3, 2.
Daily Tech News Show is powered by its audience, not outside organizations. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support.
This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, August 31st, 2017. I'm Tom Merritt, Allison Sheridan, alongside today the Podfeet Podcast's host. Right?
That's right. You got it. You can pronounce that, Tom. Fresh back from seeing the eclipse up in Oregon. I'm ready to do some tech talk.
Did it change your mind? Did it change your perspective on the world?
It was pretty dang cool. I got to say, it was pretty amazing. But I hope nothing happened in the last 2 weeks that I need to know about because I didn't pay any attention.
You know, a few things happened, but then IFA in Berlin is going on right now. So it seems like every announcement that had been holding off for August finally happened today. If you don't know IFA, IFA is the Berlin radio show, or at least that's what it was when Einstein opened it back in 1930. It stands for Internationale Funkausstellung Berlin, but they just call it IFA now because they do way more than radio. It's a big tech show now.
Fun.
And we have got all kinds of announcements coming out of it. Let's say hello to our producer Roger Chang. Roger, are you ready?
Yes.
Hi, Roger.
I am ready. Hello.
Let's start with a few tech things you should know. Shocking no one, Apple sent out invites for an event at the Steve Jobs Theater on its new campus in Cupertino for September 12th at 10 a.m. The invite reads, "Let's meet at our place. I wonder what they'll announce, Allison."
Has there been enough speculation yet?
Who knows? No one knows what they could possibly be announcing at this event.
Oh, what are you going to do? Well, Facebook also announced its new video platform called Watch, which will start rolling out to all U.S. users over the next few days. You know, I looked at this and I can't figure out what it is. It looks like it's another tab that has video, but they already had a tab that was video.
Yeah, no, this is a new redesign of that tab. Plus, it will have a bunch of original shows that they have commissioned from major broadcasters and publishers. if you have it, it's immediately obvious, like, oh, this isn't a bunch of people's cat videos anymore. These are high quality shows. Some of them are only 5 or 10 minutes long, but they're produced shows. It's funny, Eileen, my wife, has it on her Samsung phone, but not on her iPhone, and does have it on her desktop on one laptop, but not on another. So it's kind of weird how it's rolling out. But after a few days, apparently everybody in the U.S. will have it.
Okay, because I looked at the little video in the link we have from The Verge, and it looked like somebody looking at cat videos to me, and her, or at least somebody's adorable little kid, and she was pressing the little laughing button. Mm. So it looked the same.
Lyft announced its service is available on every road in 40 of the 50 U.S. states now, meaning it can pick up customers in 94% of the country, which is especially good news for rural customers. Now, that doesn't say anything about your wait time if you're out in the country, but at least you potentially have service.
You know, that's kind of interesting since I've been learning that an awful lot of the United States doesn't have cellular service. So they're never going to come if you don't have cellular service either.
Well, yeah, if you have Wi-Fi.
You could have on Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
I suppose that could work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just you can't track them once you're in the car, I guess.
Not for a little bit, yeah.
Well, Nest unveiled the Nest Thermostat E, a simplified model with a lower resolution screen that sells for $169, and it's compatible with 85% of homes.
Yeah, so it doesn't do humidity, so it wouldn't actually work with your house, I know.
Yes, it's humidity is what I really care about.
Well, it you have humidity control, right? On your thermostat?
I can look at it and find out what it is, but
I
don't have.
Oh, I thought you were telling me that you could control it, because some AC units can control humidity as well. And if yours is one of those, it won't work with the Nest E. It will work with the regular Nest.
If I had whole house air conditioning, that would be true, but I have a little room air conditioning.
I misunderstood. You were just saying there is humidity in your house. That's a
yes,
different
and
thing.
I can tell you what it is because of my Ecobee thermostat. I can tell you why I'm sweltering.
Here are some more top stories. At IFA Berlin, LG unveiled its new flagship smartphone, the V30. Now, every detail about this had either been leaked or actually announced by LG in advance, so none of this is a surprise. But if you hadn't heard, the phone features a 6-inch 2880 by 1440 OLED screen with an 18:9 aspect ratio, dual cameras with an f1.6 aperture lens, integrated 32-bit hi-fi quad DAC for audio, ships with Android 7.12 Nougat, though it will get Oreo support eventually, and it supports Daydream out of the box if you like the VR. Inside, the phone is powered by a Snapdragon 835, 4 gigabytes of LPDDR4X memory, and a 3300 milliamp hour battery. It will debut in South Korea on September 21st and then move to other parts of the world. They didn't give specific dates for that, though, and they didn't give us a price either.
So if it's coming out with Nougat, and Oreo is when you'll start being able to get updates, security updates separate from the carrier stopping you, if you bought this through a carrier in the United States, then would you actually get Oreo, I wonder?
Yeah, no, you'll get it. It'll come through the carrier. Yeah. You'll get Oreo.
Okay, so six, 8 months later. Okay.
No, it's not that bad. Don't be like that. It should come. Actually, the Oreo is already coming on the Sony phone. It's already out on the Verizon version of the Galaxy, I think, or
so
the Pixel. It's on the Verizon version of the Galaxy. So they're getting a little better. It's not six months by any stretch.
Pixel's easy. That's from Google.
Well, let's talk about the V30 phone, though. I mean, what do you think of this as an actual phone? It's very simple, but it's got nice specs, and it's well-designed. All the reviews I read about it say it feels nice in the hand. It's compact, even though it has a bigger screen, all of that. I mean, nothing revolutionary here, but LG always makes the really nice phones, and then they don't sell that well.
It's definitely really pretty. That seems like a really high resolution to me, or have I just not been tracking those numbers lately? 2880 by 1440?
Yeah, see, if you don't use iOS, you get access to these brighter, higher resolution screens.
Well, I can move us along. Zipline has expanded its quadcopter delivery service to Tanzania to become the world's largest drone delivery service. Zipline began delivering medical supplies in October of 2016 in Rwanda. Tanzania expects to make up to 2,000 deliveries a day to more than 1,000 health clinics.
I love
the coolest thing ever.
I love following this story because I will occasionally see people write like, when drone delivery finally arrives, or, you know, the U.S. is impeding the development of drone delivery. I love to point to Zipline, who've been doing this for years now in Rwanda and are expanding to Tanzania and are going to be making thousands and thousands of deliveries, delivering medicines, delivering blood samples, delivering replacement blood. It's medical service, but it's needed medical service. And they're learning how to deal with weather challenges and altitude challenges. This company is doing this, and they have the advantage. Now, first mover advantage always doesn't guarantee future success, but I love what Zipline's doing, and the fact that they're expanding to Tanzania, I think, shows that they're doing it well.
It's really working. Yeah. It made me think of a guy I saw interviewed in Texas who all of his high blood pressure medication floated away. And he's like, okay, now what do I do? But yeah, you could actually deliver it to the roof of his house where he was standing underwater.
Yeah, absolutely. Logitech announced a new Bluetooth LE wireless keyboard, the Craft, with a dial on the upper left for things like image adjustments or scrolling through an Excel document, whichever kind of thing you want to use it for. It can switch between up to 3 devices on Windows or Mac and automatically adjust its backlighting based on the ambient light. Logitech Craft keyboard arrives in the UK in September for £179 and in the US in October for $200. It's kind of like what the Microsoft Dial does, just built into the keyboard.
Yeah. It's funny. You don't think about buying keyboards that often, except for Logitech always comes out with something cool. I've bought a lot of Logitech third-party keyboards. Even though I never use them, I look at them and go, wow, that's really awesome. And then I don't actually need a third-party keyboard. But they've done some innovative things with their, they've got solar ones that recharge themselves. And this looks kind of slick. I don't know that I need that dial any more than I need the little sliders on my touch bar.
Right. But I mean,
sometimes it's cool.
Maybe, but it is. It's one of those things that makes a great demo. I'm not sure if it really is useful in day-to-day use.
It's also a real problem.
I'm using a Logitech K120, like real super simple. It just does things like has keys that I can press, but it is a workhorse, you know? And I've been using it for 5 or 7 years, maybe longer. Logitech makes great keyboards. I'm not sure I need to spend $200 for one. Although it's wireless and it can handle multiple connections, which that started to make me think, well, it would be nice to have a wireless keyboard that I could switch back and forth between multiple machines on.
I have one right over there that I should probably loan you to see if you actually want one, because it'll talk to all three, to different devices too.
Yeah.
It's cool stuff. The only people I like keyboards from are Logitech and Microsoft, believe it or not.
Yeah, Microsoft makes good keyboards too.
Nice stuff. Nice hardware. Just don't like their software. Anyway, Lenovo announced a home assistant pack with Amazon Voice Services that sells for $70. When docked with a Lenovo Tab 4 tablet, it can act a little like an Echo Show. Lenovo also announced its mixed reality headset, the Lenovo Explorer. It works in a 3.5 by 3.5 meter area with two 1440 by 1440 panels. It's $350 or $450 with bundled controllers. And we also saw the 13.9-inch 4K Lenovo Yoga 920. It's similar to the 910, but it's slightly thinner and adds two Thunderbolt 3 ports for far-field mics and Intel's 8th generation quad-core CPUs. The Yoga 920 starts at $1,329, not bad price. There are also a $99 Mix 520 and
$999. My mistake there.
Oh, a little typo. Okay, that's a slight difference. Okay, there we go. There's a $1,000 Mix 520 and $649 Yoga 720. And Lenovo-owned Motorola announced the X4 phone will ship with Amazon Voice Services. It can stream audio to multiple speakers and headphones at once. The X4 comes to Europe in September for €399.
So apologies to everyone who sat through the Lenovo announcement and just got everything they said from Allison in 60 seconds or so. A lot there. I think the two things that stick out to me are the Motorola mid-range phone, the X4, with the ability to stream to multiple speakers at once. I don't know that I'll need to stream to multiple headphones at once that often. I mean, I guess maybe if I want to share songs with my wife or something, but being able to do whole home audio could be nifty, right? The other thing is that home assistant pack that I can't make up my mind about. On the one hand, if you think about it as an accessory to the Tab 4, so for a lot of you, it may be hard to imagine buying a Tab 4, but let's say you did. Now you've got a speaker that you can dock that tablet in. and play music on and do Amazon voice services to the tablet. So that's kind of cool. But on the other hand, it's like, well, I don't know. This is a $70 Amazon Echo Dot otherwise if I don't have a Tab 4.
Yeah, that's a little rough. I do like, though, I think you talked about this yesterday or maybe the day before about what Amazon did with the Kindle apps, putting it everywhere. Now Amazon Voice Services, they're putting it everywhere.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, cranberry. Everything's got cranberry in it, right? Cranapple.
That may be the more significant part of this is how many of these things Amazon got into versus what Lenovo's doing. Because, you know, I've been hearing a lot more complaints about Lenovo quality on things like the Yoga. A couple of my friends, mm-hmm. two different friends who don't even know each other or talk to each other, were complaining to me about Lenovo laptops having build problems and having problems getting them fixed. And I know that's just anecdotal, but I used to never hear anything about Lenovo or ThinkPad type stuff. So that raises an eyebrow. And the phone sales have not been strong for Motorola lately. So I don't know that any of these changes the game for Lenovo. The weird Amazon Voice Services speaker dock for the tablet is sort of the beginning of a good idea, but I think it would have to work with more than just the Tab 4 for me to be that interested.
Yeah, it seems like you're starting with Android tablets, which is a tiny, tiny little market. Then it's only Lenovo Android tablets. Then it's only the Lenovo Tab 4 tablet. And now somebody has to buy a dock to go with it. Yeah. So now there's like 11
people. Well, no, you're right. It's like tablets itself is a tiny market.
Right. And then I didn't even start at the beginning. It was
yeah,
small.
Exactly. And then it just gets smaller and smaller from there. Sony announced
they're busy.
They're what?
They're very busy, Lenovo.
Yeah, no, they're making a lot of stuff. It's good. It's good. They're not just sitting around the house. That's smart. Sony announced the Xperia XZ1 phone. It has a built-in scanner for making 3D images. So you can like take a selfie, of course, is what they demonstrated with, and it's got a 3D avatar of you that you can use for things. The 3D scanning is detailed enough to be 3D printed, so that could be interesting. You could scan some objects and print them. It can also capture video at 960 frames per second, which is great for super slow-mo. If you're into slow-mo, this is a dream come true. And it includes things like predictive auto-focused and rapid burst image capture. The 5.2-inch phone sells for $700 and ships with Android Oreo. Starting September 19th, Sony also announced a smart speaker with Google Assistant, the LF-S50G, for $200. That comes in October. A GoPro competitor camera called the RX0 for $700 coming in October. And their own version of an AirPod-like wireless ear pods. Those range in price from $200 to $350. $350 for the ones that are kind of like the AirPods. Those wireless earbuds coming in September.
See, this the Xperia is... XZ1 phone really lights me up more than the other one we were just talking about. I mean, 3D scanning, that's pretty cool. Now, again, very, very narrow market of people who are doing anything like that, but that's still pretty stinking cool. There's enough people interested in doing slow-mo stuff. That's pretty neat. I don't know. And comes with Android Oreo. I don't have to worry about if I'm going to get Oreo. I don't know. That sounds more intriguing to me than what was the phone we were talking about?
The LG.
The LG, yeah.
Which has apparently fled your mind already. It was that uninteresting.
Yeah, I think that sounds pretty slick. Sony
is an image sensor company, and they tend to use the Xperia line to show off their image sensors, which some people knock them for, but I think it's smart. Sony knows they're not going to win the Android smartphone race easily. And the one way they can differentiate themselves is to put their image sensors in there that they're working on. So why not, on the off chance that one of these really does capture the imagination and everybody flocks to it?
So what did they say anything about the GoPro competitor for $700?
Oh, yeah.
That's
money. It's a little bit more expensive than the GoPro, but it's actually not that much more expensive. And it's the kind of thing that can be done. It's more for 360 camera capture. So you buy several of these and you make your own 360 degree capture rig, which is way cheaper than those big rigs that you have to buy from, say, Nokia or somebody like that.
Okay. That seems... I'm trying to remember. I'm racking my brain trying to remember how much the GoPro Hero 5 was that I just bought, but I don't know.
Roger, you were going to say something?
No, I'm wondering if Sony is just. I mean, I know they're testing the wireless with the sensor, but they might be proving out their manufacturing capability, because if they can upsize that sensor to a full frame sensor and stick it in the camera, I mean, it's total, that's total red, you know, red camera territory that they mm-hmm. could easily muscle in.
Your Hero 5 sells for $400.
Yeah, $400. This is $700. That's a lot more.
Yeah. Well, did you read the Engadget article about it?
I didn't get that far, no.
Yeah. It's a 15.3 megapixel CMOS sensor, a 24 millimeter Zeiss lens fixed at f4. It's bigger than any sensor available on any current GoPro model. Okay. So this is, and if you look at that, if you look at the page here, I'll pull it up for you on the screen as well. That's what it's for. It's for making a big rig of a bunch of these things.
The similarity to GoPro is the shape.
Yeah, exactly. And it can be used similar. And GoPro's trying to pitch themselves as this kind of thing. Like, hey, you can get several GoPros and make yourself a DIY 360 as well. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No disputing, though, that this is way expensive. It's $700.
Okay.
No matter how you look at it. Hey, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to dailytechheadlines.com. You can get it as a podcast. You can get it on the Anchor app at anchor.fm. You can get it on the Amazon Echo, and it gives you all the headlines you need in just 5 minutes. Never feel bad about falling behind again. dailytechheadlines.com. All right, so we didn't talk about the wearables. The new announcement today was Garmin unveiling three new wearables, a $200 Vivo Sport. That's an activity tracker with GPS. The Vivo Move HR is a hybrid touchscreen smartwatch that's $200 to $300. And then the Vivo Active 3 smartwatch is their flagship one. That's $300 and has Garmin Pay built in, which is powered by FitPay, so you can attach your Visa or MasterCard and do NFC payments. And it also has sunlight readable transflective screen on it. Samsung, of course, we mentioned yesterday, has the Gear Sport smartwatch available, as well as the Gear Fit 2 Pro available. Well, the Gear Sport smartwatch didn't get a release date, but the Gear Fit 2 Pro goes on sale today, pre-order today at $199. That's Thursday. And then earlier in the week, we talked about the Fitbit smartwatch, the Ioniq, that's selling for $299, arriving in October. The theme running through all these wearables that were announced at IFA this week is fitness. They are all focusing on fitness now. They're no longer trying to be luxury brands or show you their stylishness. They have replaceable bands and stuff like that, but they're hammering away on, you know, oh, we've got access to the great suite of Under Armour apps, you know, that all the great fitness heads are using out there. Or we're able to be able to track your swimming. So if you're doing swimming, you can keep this thing on and it'll be up to 50 meters in water that you'll be okay with it, and it can track your swimming sessions. It's all about fitness. Now, Allison, I know you are more enthusiastic about wearables already than I am. How do you feel about this shift in focus? It's not really a change, but it's sort of a shift away from the decorative aspect back to the roots of it.
So I think about the smartwatches is really, if you are into fitness at all, or if you want to get fit, then a smartwatch is a fantastic way to do that. But that isn't what happens after that is the other features that really come out. So I'm a fanatic at watching my rings and you know, like, oh man, I washed the windows yesterday and forgot to, oh, my watch is telling me to stand up right now. I forgot to turn on my workout and I was all mad about that. You know, I want to get credit, that kind of thing. And that is a big feature of it to me, but there are so many other things that the watch does for me that I've heard you complain about a few things. I wish I could remember what they were right this minute, but where you'll say something and not talk about wearables. And I'm thinking, yeah, the watch you gave away would have done that for you. Every night I get all my stuff together to go upstairs and my arms are full and I realize I haven't turned the lights off. Well, I can say, hey, S lady, turn off my lights. And I don't know why, that just makes me really happy than walking around and going and doing it. And so finally my Hue lights, I care that they exist, but it's only because of my watch.
Well, I do the same thing with the Amazon Echo, and I don't have to wear anything.
Yeah, that's true. Only if the Amazon Echo is in that room.
It is.
Or if you buy a bunch of them in all of your rooms. I have it with me all the time, any room I'm in.
You have a bigger house than I do.
I'm running around down on the beach, and I realized that Dave Hamilton was wrong on the Mac Geek app as I'm exercising. And I can look at my wrist and say, remind me to tell Dave that he was wrong when I get home. I do this all the time. I pester the SMR podcast guys. I pester you, but it's because I can set reminders using my watch if I have an internet connection, which
particularly talking about voice, I think what you're identifying that I've complained about with voice is, well, when the voice is in my pocket, I have to take it out. And what you're saying is if I've got a wearable on, I don't have to take it out. You can just talk to it.
Yeah. And sometimes it's really handy to not be rude. Okay, if your phone lights up, you've got it sitting on the table, or you've got it in your pocket, mm-hmm. and you're having dinner with somebody and it lights up or it buzzes, you have to pull it out to find out if you care. I can glance at my wrist and go, nope, don't care. And
although, isn't that also rude? That's the universal sign for I'm bored. Is it time to leave?
Well, it depends on what you do after that. If you look and go like back down and start talking to somebody, then no, it isn't rude.
That's the same for the phone, though.
But it's much more disruptive to reach in your pocket, pull it out and make that big motion about it. And invariably, you get sucked into actually reading it and doing something. And the other thing is, again, a lot of it has to do with exercise. When I'm walking the dog, I get a message from somebody that I really want to respond to. I can dictate it right back into my watch, and I'm not taking my phone out and, you know, getting it out of my spy belt and trying to play with it. And I just find that super useful. And find my iPhone. Oh my gosh, how many times a day do I swipe up on my watch and I press this little button and my phone tells me where it is?
It's right
there. Do that all the time. Well, yeah, in this case, that was pretty dumb, but I just do it all the time. Hey, did you know what else you can do with a smartwatch?
Tell
what time it is.
Mm-hmm. I knew you were going to go there.
No, my daughter,
I can ask my Amazon Echo what time it is.
Yeah, not when you're out. You can't, because you don't have it with you, right?
It's fair. It's fair. I don't find those as compelling, though, and that's just a personal trait. But I think I see what you're getting at, which is fitness may be the way to get people in the door. But once they get in the door, they'll start to find out these other things that they can use the wearable for. And that does seem to be what these companies are banking on. Wearable shipments, 21.6 million units in Q2. That's up from 20 million. So it's not huge up, but it is up, according to Strategy Analytics. IDC had similar numbers that just came out this morning as well. Xiaomi's your number one, if you're curious. It's 17.1% of the marketplace. Fitbit is second and Apple third. Apple always falls off about this time of year, though, about Q2, because they're off cycle of the watch releases. So if we get a new watch in the fall, expect Apple to jump back up, possibly to first. They were first in Q1. They fell down to third in Q2. IDC expects smartwatch shipments to double from 71.4 million in total of 2017 to 161 million in 2021. Now, by comparison, keep in mind, 20 million in Q2. They're looking at about 71 million for the year. Smartphones ship 341.6 million in Q2 alone of 2017. Tablets shipped 37.9 million in Q2. Wearables, 21.6 million. So wearables on the rise, tablets stagnant. Wearables getting close to being as good of a market as tablets. They just need to get people in the door.
Yeah, you talked about the slight growth, 10% or so in, and I started thinking about the people I've started hearing starting to wear these. Our good friend Chris Ashley, the SMARC podcast, got an Apple Watch because he had the Microsoft Band, and he got an Apple Watch and he started working out and exercising. He's lost like 50 pounds. He did a whole episode, he and Rob Dunwood did a whole episode of the SMR podcast about how they've lost weight and the tools that they use to do that. And he says, I don't know, there's something about getting those little rings to go around that just make you go out and do it again. So if they can come out with smartwatches that are not ugly, I mean, some of the ones that you link to in here, I'm sorry, they're revolting. I mean, they just really make me sick. But so a bunch of them are really nice looking. Even some of the the ones that are more just for fitness, there's some of the more band looking ones have some beautiful color on them. They look really, really nice. And I think that's starting to move it, is they're not making them as ugly as they used to.
Well, we'd love to hear you guys. Are you a fitness advocate? Do you use a wearable for a different thing? Or are you waiting for what IDC says is the new growth market, which is clothing and earwear? Those are wearable markets that are just getting started. And IDC says you're going to see triple-digit growth. Now, as Roger, as you pointed out the pre-show, from 0 to 3 is could be considered triple-digit growth. But what they're saying is there is a little bit of clothing and earwear out there. It just hasn't sold in large amounts yet. And we expect there to be a surge in that growth soon. So I'm curious what people think about wearables now. these days. Feedback at dailytechnewsshow.com. And thanks to everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories and vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. And we're having great conversations about all of this in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Let's finish on an email. Scott writes, "Hey, Tom. I think he means us, were talking today on Canada and servers and the reason that Alberta was a good place to put them because they had lots of natural gas. How come they don't convert the natural gas into helium? I understand we have a helium shortage, and I understand Amazon wants to make airships that they can launch their drones from, which to me seems fascinating that you would have a flying warehouse so you can do drone delivery. But that means we're going to need lots of helium, which I understand is made from natural gas. There seems to be lots of natural gas out there, but nobody seems to be making helium. I was just curious as to why and how hot it is that Amazon airships could be connected to Bitcoin mining in Canada." Well, first of all, you're assuming no one is making helium. My guess is you're wrong, that people are turning a lot of that natural gas into helium, but that there just isn't enough helium there are not enough people willing to pay for that helium to make it worth it, or else they would be doing it, because this guy who wrote into the show yesterday was complaining that they don't know what to do with the natural gas. So I'd be curious to get some clarification from our friend who wrote in yesterday about how much of that natural gas is being turned into helium. Maybe it's just too expensive to do it.
I mean, isn't it like 7% of natural gas can be converted, like when you actually
Is that true?
That was just one of the numbers I was reading up before the show. And so
when you say 7%, I'm not sure what you mean. So when you convert natural gas to helium, you only get 7% of the helium out?
Like out of 7%, out of the total mass of whatever amount of natural gas you have.
So it's not very efficient. Got it.
Could be helium with a bunch of other gases as well.
I see.
So yeah, I'm wondering, people in the chat room are saying that too. BioCow is saying helium often accompanies natural gas, but not always.
Okay.
It's one to one. So it might just be a cost thing where it's like, well, we can't find a market to basically sell that at a profit. So why do it? I mean, that could be one of the calculations where, yeah, you know, it's just cheaper just to burn it as an energy source.
And so it's not more, exactly converting it. It's basically saying harvest the helium when you're mining the natural gas.
Kind of like the same way that when you take a crude oil, there's only so much percentage that can be fracked out into gasoline, diesel, kerosene. I mean, it's not a one for one, right? You can't take a barrel of oil and make a barrel of gasoline. You can't make like a full barrel of diesel as well, but you can get more gasoline out of a barrel of crude than you can. Sorry. Continue.
No, not at all. If you have links to support what you say and know about this sort of thing, please email us feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com and help Scott understand it a little more. I already understand it a little more just talking to Roger in the chat room about it. So this is awesome. Thank you, Allison Sheridan, for joining us. If people want to find out more about those Podfeet podcasts, where should they go?
Well, they should go to podfeet.com. And I wanted to draw special attention to something that Steve did recently. We went to see the eclipse in Portland, and he got some great video and made a great photograph of the eclipse. But the tech angle is, how do you capture something like that and yet still experience the grandeur of it? So we have an article on how he did it, and it's a lot of tech geekery of how he managed to get this thing set up so that it would run and he could capture this great video and yet still enjoy the experience. So we'll have a link in the show notes to podfeet.com where you can see all of that. Two different videos and a great photo.
Excellent. Go check it out, podfeet.com. And thanks to everybody who makes this show possible and gives a little value back for the value they get from the show. This is the last day of the month, so this is the day of reckoning where we find out if we met our monthly goal of getting at least one more patron than we had last month. It's looking good, so thank you to everybody who stuck with us or joined us as a patron at patreon.com/DTNS. Stay tuned to tomorrow's show for a special announcement of some new rewards and milestones on our Patreon. You are not going to want to miss this. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're live Monday through Friday, 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 20:30 UTC at alphageekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. Our website is dailytechnewsshow.com, and we'll be back tomorrow with Sarah Lane and Len Peralta illustrating. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
hopes you have enjoyed this program.
I almost started reading a quote to you, Roger, before I realized that you were the one putting it in the chat room. Yeah. I was like, oh, this guy's saying, oh, this guy is you. Never mind.
it's complicated. Yeah, most helium that we were getting was naturally occurring from radioactive decay of whatever.
Okay.
I thought it came from animal balloons.
Do no, that's where you get laughter from. And then if you make really lewd ones, that's when the parents.
So it's laughing. A medical use because laughter is the best medicine.
You
hey,
know
Roger,
what?
Where's the best place to put the link that would give them the video and such? Should I just put it next to put thanks to Allison Sheridan?
Yeah, put it on line 46 there.
47? Yeah. Okay. No, that's not it.
No, put it. So you see where put 46 and then just paste it above the Podfeet URL.
Oh, okay. Oh, shoot. I messed it up.
So when he says here, put it to the right of that.
And he said the right thing and I screwed it up.
You're putting it over podfeet.com.
Well, I did, and then now I fixed it.
Ah, okay. There you go. Perfect.
Excellent. Good show. What should we call it?
September 12th. What a surprise. The Oreo is coming. Tom doesn't have to wear anything, but he should.
I really should.
Lyft picks up its game. Slow-mo dream come true. Taking selfies in 3D. That's going to be creepy. I'm not going to lie. Do my 960 frames per second selfies make me look fat? Let's reboot that.
I'm not sure that one works.
Fitness is the new wearable. Time to get fit. Time to get smart. You know, I'd be more into wearables if, and it's not to say that I'm not into fitness, but if they could broaden that out into health, which isn't. Oh, which isn't 100%.
Did you listen to the conversation?
Yes. Yes.
It's pretty much what we said is that they're broadening them out into health.
Well, we said fitness. No. He's saying health, which
is slightly different. I see. You're not using health and fitness as the thing. So you're saying like medical. I see. Okay. No, that makes more
sense. Well, one of the articles was what did they just figure out? Well, I know Apple, they found the Apple Watch can diagnose AFib. And somebody else was going to be able to.
I just
want to
know how much meat I can eat before the onset of gout in my system.
Yeah, and these can do some of that for you. They can't track your meat intake though.
Well, no, they can just tell me. It's like, well, yeah,
you can just have an app for that.
Well, you just need a. Well, no, I don't need an app. It just tells me how much purine I have in my blood system.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Takes like a reading.
Like the same way they do with diabetics.
Gotcha. So like some sort of non-invasive way to say, your purine level is here, so cut out the meat for the rest of the day, or you can have a couple steaks, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You rub some meat on your arm and it tells you, on your shirt because you got the wearable.
Oh, the wearable clothing.
But I do that every time I get a hot dog. It just naturally rubs off on my shirt.
What was the other one? Oh, did you pick a title?
No, we haven't picked one yet. Need to pick one.
Time to get fit, time to get smart. A dial you can turn into keys, you can press.
I kind of like fit is the new black.
Hmm.
What does that mean?
Like, you know, orange is the new black.
But also they say that black is slimming, so it makes you a little more fit when you're wearing black clothes versus...
Because black goes with everything.
Yeah. And also it's slimming. That's what they tell me.
That's why it goes with everything. Time to get fit, time to get smart. Let's do that.
Done.
An eclipse in Chile in 2019.
Want to go?
We might.
It'd be great.
She started talking about it already.
So wait, could you just be in Santiago and see it, or what part of Chile?
Because
I don't want to like a weird hike all the way to the northern end of the country.
Any exercise before you rub your meat on your arm?
Hey, I said health again.
Something about that sounds wrong.
I want the health.
Well, because everyone—that's confusing because everyone says health and fitness, meaning jogging and stuff. But you're talking about actually
health.
Your medical health. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, Well, there's
I mean, what's a better way to phrase that? I want health, but not necessarily fitness.
Yeah, medical, I guess.
But then it sounds like you're like, you know, an not indigent, but you're like hooked up to an oxygen tank.
What? No, it doesn't.
Like, oh, you're going to, oh, one, didn't they have a test? Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking of something else. Where it could tell someone who's epileptic, like, if they're going to go into a fit. Oh, no, those were dogs. Dang.
Okay, I think you went off the rails.
No, if you can have a something like that, like a health monitoring system on your watch.
They can, do that. Yeah, they can. There are devices that can give you a prediction, an alert that you might be having a seizure. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. So it tells you you might want to sit.
Yeah, that I believe that exists.
Oh, I've worked this all up. I'm trying to find out the answer to your question.
Which one?
Oh, Costa Argentina, too. The eclipse. That's all I care about now.
The eclipse. You're just an eclipse junkie now.
I am. They call them eclipse chasers. It goes through Argentina, too.
Ooh, well, it depends what part of Argentina. Mm-hmm. Again, if it like goes through a big city like Buenos Aires, then I could be at the rooftop of my hotel.
True. But you have to have already booked it because it's next year.
Oh, yeah.
It was unbelievable how booked up the areas around Portland were. We were 3 hours from Portland, and it's in the middle of nowhere. And it was just the reason it was such a good spot, though, was because it was the driest place in the country. So the highest probability of being able to see it.
So, an Embrace smartwatch, the Smart Monitor smartwatch, all do seizure detection.
Nice.
There was one came out with something else it could tell. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet those aren't the only ones. Those seem like very specialized, possibly insurance-friendly devices.
Or something that could like release time release medication. I want it all in a watch. It all has to fit in a wristwatch. Or a gauntlet.
Why don't you have an Apple Watch?
Because it doesn't do that. It doesn't check my purity levels. I'll be honest. After I stopped wearing a watch back at Tech TV, like I kind of liked the fact that I didn't have anything on my wrist.
You know, I was going to say that, but it ran out of time. My daughter's 30, and mm-hmm. so she never wore a watch. And then she got an Apple Watch, and she says, "I can't believe how convenient it is to go like this to find out what time it is."
See, I've worn a watch many times during my life for years on at an end. I don't mind having something on my wrist. That is not the problem for me.
What is your problem, Tom?
Who knows? You know, so many people have spent so much time and effort trying to figure that out.
It's 3 books written about it.
I just did not find it worth $350 at the time. And granted, that was Gen 1 first month. So I might have a different opinion now. Eileen loves hers.
Is she?
Yeah.
Yeah, the battery life is so much better. That's a huge thing. I used to run out. Well, if you don't exercise, you get a lot of battery life. But if you exercise like we do a couple hours a day, it was done by the end of the day. By like 8 o'clock at night, it'd be out. But now I go to bed with 40% left. So that's a lot nicer.
I actually didn't have too much bad luck with the battery life, even with that Gen 1.
Yeah.
But I didn't have any notifications on, which is kind of the other reason to have it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people ended up with the notifications going crazy and driving them nuts. And once you got that under control, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. I didn't have that problem because I don't really have many notifications on to begin with.
Yeah.
But then if I wasn't getting a lot of notifications, that seemed to be one of the main reasons to have it. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I also don't like using voice commands very, very often. And that's just a weird personal thing that I know is not true of most people.
You know, I keep getting in arguments with Bart about that. Bart says people in Ireland don't talk to their watches. It's like, well, that's a dumb thing to say. First of all, it can't be everybody in Ireland.
Well, I'm sure
it's
not.
And also, how many people have watches that they could have talked to? I love it, man. I love being able to dictate to it. It's fantastic.
I don't want other people hearing what I'm saying.
You're a hermit who lives in your basement, Tom. What do you mean other people?
Wow.
I'm sorry.
I just realized you're right.
Yeah, but you live upstairs.
I go outside.
Too. Yeah.
Hi.
Eileen lets me out sometimes.
Yes, she does. She has the keys.
The dogs, right?
Yes.
How's your new puppy?
Oh, she's so good. She's really like calmed down and realized she lives here now and is super happy all the time.
Oh,
she's gone from being a little nervous to being like, oh my gosh, I have a home and I feel good about life.
Well, I think she understands now you're not returning her.
Yeah. She finally sunk in.
This is forever.
She comes home. We have this doggy daycare place we take her to so that she can socialize with other dogs and learn that other dogs are okay. And that's helping when we go on a walk. She doesn't get freaked out when we see other dogs anymore. And so when she comes home, she just goes running around the house, just in glee.
Like, I get to come back.
Yay.
There's nothing like the reaction of a dog when you come home.
Yeah.
Their reaction is like, you're the second coming, you know, just like they haven't seen you in 4 months. It's like, I went to the gym. Really?
Yes, but it was an hour or more.
Contrast that with a cat. Be gone a year and it's like, oh.
Thrumwald points out, Tom's a newscaster that doesn't want people to hear what he's saying. I don't mind people hearing what I'm saying now. It's when I'm saying, hey, remind me to call the doctor about that rash. I don't want to say that out in public.
Call doctor about the you know what, about the in the you know what.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not, it'll be like, wait, what was that? I don't remember what that was about. That's funny.
I love talking to my devices. I think it's fun. But I don't talk to my phone very often. I talk to my watch a lot.
Well, because that's more convenient. That part makes sense to me, where it's like suddenly it becomes more useful because it's just there. Same reason Amazon Echo is better than a phone, because it's just there. And the watch is always going to be there, no matter where you are.
I'm still intrigued by the Echo because I know a really good friend of mine has an iPhone, wears an Apple Watch every single day, and he goes on and on about how amazing all the things he can do with his Amazon Echo are. Mm-hmm. Like, you can do everything you just said with your watch.
I have to say, the Echo works better than Siri does.
He's not asking questions. He's like, I can have it play music. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah, but it's on a better speaker.
Yeah.
I mean, arguably not that much better, but still better.
Oh, talking about dogs and their excitement and Amazon, I've realized exactly what it is. The Amazon Echo is a dog and Siri is a cat. So the Amazon Echo, how often does it go, yeah, what? What? Did you want? Were you talking to me? Huh? I'm right here. And Siri's just like, yeah, maybe I'll answer. More
That's
like
very
a cat.
True. Amazon Echo doesn't say anything to you unbidden usually, but yes, it is. It's right there.
I'm talking all the time.
Oh, really?
She's always like up acting like we're talking to her. We're watching TV. We're talking to each other all the time. She's like,
mine doesn't
like
do
a
that.
Dog, all excitement.
You must just say Lex
words that rhyme
a lot.
Let's go to the park.
See? Yeah. That's interesting. I wonder what it is about your speech patterns that cause. Do you have a relative with that name or something?
My name's Allison.
Oh, that could be.
It might be, but it'd be like TV. We'll be watching a movie and she's off there going, I didn't quite catch that. I'm not talking to you.
Shut up.
And Siri never responds when you are talking.
No,
to
I know.
Her,
yeah, no, that part is absolutely true. Hey, I'm talking to you. Also, all of these voice assistants have problems doing what I really want them to do. Like, I have to know how to say things exactly right. Whenever I just say like, hey, send a text message, they'll be like, I can't do that right now. Or better yet, I say, hey, send a text message while I'm driving, right? And then it sends the text message. And then I'm like, okay, start playing my podcast again. And be like, I don't know what that is. And I'm like, oh,
nope.
Great. Yeah.
Nope.
Now I'm screwed. All right. Well, thank you all for joining us. We had a lovely time. I hope you did too. And
I had fun.
We will be back with you tomorrow with special announcements. And you patrons, you folks who are getting this special audio post roll, you should know that it's going to involve new things for you. Not just a new reward level, but even if you stay exactly at the reward level you're at, you're hopefully, if all goes well, going to get something that I think you'll enjoy. So be sure to check out the show and patreon.com/DTNS tomorrow. We're very excited. Okay, bye.